0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we continue with a big midweek of European action. Celtic draw 1-1 with Club Brugge, meaning they remain on track for Champions League progression. Rangers are up later, looking to defy domestic struggles away to Nice in the Europa League. And Hearts are underway right now, drawing 0-0 at Cercle Brugge with nearly 20 minutes gone. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Gordon DL and Mark Wilson.
Yeah, I'd imagine it'll be a jam-packed show tonight. Fallout from last night, Celtic's draw against Brugge. Was it a good point and keep Celtic in the mix, or is it a missed opportunity that they could have been almost there for qualification? And for Rangers, is it going to be the norm in Europe that they actually turn up and perform in the south of France tonight? And for Hearts, I mean, we keep saying it every week, when's our season going to get going? And a result in Belgium, they could be doing with that tonight. So, big show ahead.
Yeah, Mark asked the question there for Celtic fans. Was it a good point? Looking at the game last night, Gordon, I thought it was a terrific point. Keeps them in a very comfortable position. They've got young boys still to come to Celtic Park. You'd expect them to go and win that. I was very impressed with opposition last night. I thought they were excellent. I thought Celtic played a lot better in the second half, but I think it was all down to the opposition. I think they came there, they'd done their homework, they got everything right and made it very difficult for Celtic. So when you look at it after a light day, I think that was a good point for Celtic.
0141 951 1025. How are you this Thursday night? Why not tell us, let us know what's on your mind. We can look back, we look forward. We've got the Hearts game underway at the moment as well, so let's do the lot. If we do start at Celtic Park last night, well, they've both asked the question now, so you better answer them. Was it a good point, Celtic fans? Is that the way it felt? How do you view the big picture? 8 points now. Everyone's been obsessed all along with this 10-point mark. 3 games to come. Are you feeling comfortable, confident of getting there? Or was last night a missed opportunity? After the high of RB Leipzig at home and a wonderful performance, did last night fail to live up to it? And if so, why? What about that goal conceded? I don't think we've ever really discussed a Cameron Carter-Vickers mistake ever on this show. Well, he certainly had one last night. What was your reading of that? What was the difference between the first half and the second half? What were the improvements that were made? Who were the good players? Who were the ones that perhaps didn't stand up? Because again, after Leipzig, we praised the full team. They were all magnificent. Are there a couple in that team that maybe struggled a bit last night and maybe, even maybe, require a little spell out the team because some subs came on and made a difference? So give us all your thoughts on last night, Celtic fans. Rangers fans, how do you feel? Firstly, I suppose a more general way of looking at, what's your appetite like for Europe? Are you still managing to get up for these nights? Can some European success paper over what's happening domestically? Can it distract you from what's happening domestically? Does it not matter at all? Let us know, because despite all the struggles and all the negativity on here, Europe's been absolutely fine, and Europe could turn out to be very good if you go and get a result there in Nice. Whilst we're building up to kickoff, I think we've got a bit to go yet. What's your team? What's the best Rangers team right now? I don't know who's controlling those cameras on the live stream, so my apology time, for whatever.
Oh, there you go.
How did you do that? You just like, popped up.
It was like zoomed right in my stomach.
Like a jack in the box.
Which is just not what you need. Yeah. But anyway, thrown me off my train of thought there, which was, I'm sure, going to make great sense. Rangers fans, what's your team? What is your team for tonight? What is your best team at the moment? Because there's a lot chopping, a lot changing, players not available for Europe. And the big question, as always, does James Tavernier play? Is he back in, or are you leaving him out? Because it's not like it's worked brilliantly when he was left out at the weekend. So what are you thinking tonight? James Tavernier, what are you doing with him? And what are your thoughts overall? We've got Hearts playing right now. We've got the weekend not too far around the corner. So get stuck in if you can. And 0141 951 1025. Let's see if we can set the scene with Gabriel right now. How are you, Gabriel?
Yes, Gordon, all good here. Good evening from the Côte d'Azur here, the Allianz Riviera. A fantastic game ahead, I'm sure, for Rangers and manager Philippe Clement, but he doesn't feel he's under mounting pressure. Of course, we know that it's been a positive start in Europe, but the league form has been well below standard. It's their worst start to a campaign in 8 years. They've only won two of their last five. I was at the Dundee United game on Saturday night at Ibrox. They were boozed at the full-time whistle by the few thousand fans that were left inside. And that's the feeling, really, from the supporters I've been speaking to over here in France. It's getting to that apathetic stage. They don't really want to see Clermont stay much longer, but they don't expect much to change. So what can they do? Clermont himself doesn't expect his position to change either. He said he held very positive talks with incoming CEO Patrick Stewart earlier in the week. He, of course, starts the day after the League Cup final, so don't expect much to change at Ibrox before then. In terms of team news, you were just touching on it there, as ever, the big question, does captain James Tavernier come back in? He was dropped at the weekend. Other than that, though, you wouldn't expect the team to change too much from the Dundee United game. Danilo and Yanis Hadji, two of the brightest sparks of the weekend, both unavailable for Europe. I'll bring you the team news when it comes at about 6:45.
The good thing is, until then, we can all speculate. We can debate who should play and who shouldn't. What do you do with James Tavernier? Are there other changes you would make? And then the kind of bigger, wider questions. What is the difference with Rangers in Europe? Can they get another good result tonight? How much does Europe matter to you? What about Philippe Clement's comments? Because again, he's had to use his pre-match press conference for this game to almost justify his overall position and explain the form. And again, he says that the perceived lack of style is just due to injuries. I've been having a flick through social media. I don't detect that many of you Rangers fans are buying that, but you can tell us how you feel on 0141 951 1025. Let's look back on last night first with Craig and Stewarton. How are you, Craig?
Yeah, not bad. How are you guys?
All good here, Craig. What do you? How'd you look back on last night? Good point.
I think just with the way that Celtic played, I think it's a very good point. I don't think they played very well at all. I thought Bruges actually played better off the ball than what they did on the ball. They had us bang to rights throughout the entire game. And I think, again, it's just a very, very well
played. Is that the way you saw it, Mark? Can we learn points?
Pretty much so. What Craig thought, going on reflection on how Celtic played, yes, it turns out a good point, but you can't see it as it's not a missed opportunity. Especially when you go into a home game against Bruges after beating Leipzig and the performance that came with Leipzig. I think it's only natural that Celtic fans go along with optimism, thinking that's going to be the level in the Champions League. They've cracked it now. And probably people don't understand. Teams then work you out, play a different style. Thought Bruges were very good at that. I thought they nullified Celtic early on, but also thought they were quite good on the ball. Thought they were good going forward in the opening periods. So when you take all that into consideration, to get a point when you're not at your best, and I think you touched on it earlier, Gordon, there was so many underperformed as well in a Celtic jersey. I think you're quite happy with a point after all that.
Is that why it's important to use your eyes, Gordon? Use the eye test, because we, on European weeks, we get so obsessed with, okay, who plays in what league and where are they in what league and what's their previous results and what's their coefficient? You know, it's almost like it's all done on paper. Whereas if you just watch Bruges last night, they were good. There is no other way of doing it. You can, yeah, Celtic had their own failings, which we'll get to. But as Mark, Bruges had Celtic sussed, didn't they, certainly early on?
Tactically, they were excellent. Excellent. You know, they didn't let McGregor dictate the game. They got very tight all over the pitch. They didn't let Celtic get into a rhythm. The formation they set up with was good as well, Gordon. As much as, look, I don't look at it and think that it was attack after attack with Bruges and, you know, Schmeichel had the best game in the world. But they looked a decent outfit. They looked a strong outfit, well-disciplined, everything about them. Celtic weren't at their usual best. You know, if you compare it to the last game, Leipzig, they weren't at that. They weren't up at that form. They weren't on the front foot as quick. So when you analyse it overall, I think it's a terrific point because it still keeps them very firmly and with a great chance of qualifying.
I think I know what Craig meant about on the ball and off the ball, though, Mark, because somehow, despite Bruges being very good and definitely being the best side, they actually hadn't really created much until that moment. I think they curled a couple from outside the box wide, but Schmeichel didn't have good to make conscious. A save. Who knew that the one he would have to get out his net was because it was tucked neatly into the bottom corner by Cameron Carter-Vickers.
I mean, where do you start with it? I've yet to see a goal like that in Champions League at that level where it's so calamitous, it's almost funny. But you know what, you could see something like that transpiring, maybe not to that extreme, but you saw Hatate giving the ball away in dangerous areas, and there were several others in that opening period. But almost when Kuhn was going back the way, and you thought, oh, there's trouble here, because you could quite clearly see Schmeichel had moved. And of course, he plays the pass blind, thinking Schmeichel's going to be there. Even when you're in youth football, you would tell your defenders to play at either side of the goal if you're playing it back. So worst case scenario, that just goes out for a corner kick. One of these freak incidents that you never expect a guy of that standard to make, but it happens. And they find themselves in a really difficult situation after that. But I thought they even struggled after that. I know they had a few wee flurries up the pitch. Maybe Hatate could have done better with his header. He could have probably taken that in the volley. But apart from that, I thought they really struggled in the first 45. Much better the second 45. But that goal summed them up in the first half, really, Celtic. They just couldn't get going at all.
How much of it, Craig, was down to Bruges being good and how much to Celtic not hitting their levels?
I think there's probably a bit of both in it, because I thought Celtic weren't absolutely at the races at all in the first half. I thought Bruges played very well. They kind of matched it man for man, pretty much. And my big hitters like Cal McGregor, Hatate, they struggled to get going. But I thought they started better in the second half. I thought Alex Valle and Bernardo made a big difference when they came on. They were more direct. They didn't try to take men on, which I thought we failed to do that in the first half.
I agree with that. I was going to mention that earlier about the substitutions. I thought Brendan Rodgers made the right substitutions. I thought they did make a difference. They looked more lively. They looked more confident going forward. Bernardo, I thought, he's maybe looking now thinking, is it not about time I got a run of games? Because Bernardo's been brilliant. He's coming off the pitch, coming on the pitch and contributing. He's got everything in his locker. I think last night showed that. So it'll be interesting to see how Brendan Rodgers works that midfield three, whether he decides to give Bernardo a wee run. I think the left-back Vaid coming on as well, I think gave them that energy down the left-hand side, Gordon. So for Brendan Rodgers, the substitutions were positive. I thought Celtic looked a lot better. But I go back to it, I thought it was a good point for him.
Do you agree? Good point there, Celtic fans. Any of you left a bit frustrated that you thought it would have been three and the 10 would have been wrapped up? Or do you find patience going through this Champions League phase? Who are the standouts? Who are the guys that perhaps struggled? I think we've touched on it a bit there, but let's get stuck into that a bit more. Are there, despite the really impressive start to the season, are there a couple of areas that might look to be tweaked going forward? Brendan Rodgers says it was a game of two halves, as the old phrase goes. He says initially too passive, but managed to work it out going on.
A game of two halves, really. I thought first half we were too passive in our pressing, and we were never in contention with them. And they're a good side, you can see that. And then they played through that pressure really well. So I thought first half they were the better team. We had moments when we came through the pitch over the halfway line and looked a threat, but I thought the pressing wasn't so good. They played through it too easy, and then with the ball we were too slow and slow in our movements and slow in taking the ball. Second half was much, much better. I think from the very start we spoke about it at half time, and then I thought we were the better team in the second half. Get a great goal, and they defend well. They man mark you, so you really have to work the ball and probe and get it side to side to penetrate, and we did that for the goal. Fantastic goal by Dyson. And then from then it felt like we could go on and win the game. So a point at this level, like we've seen in Atalanta, it's so important. And I've been in enough of these games and sat here enough times to be in a game like that and you end up losing it. So we didn't do that. And it's a great credit to the players and how they fought right to the end.
Thank you to Craig. What about James on the other line? What was your verdict, James?
To be honest with you guys, I thought we got out of jail last night. Midfield with Engels, Boyer's got ability. First couple of games of the season, he was playing well, taking corner kicks, taking free kicks, scoring goals. And I believe he's been totally off the boil in the last 2 to 3 weeks. Hatate's passing was shocking in the first half. They were a good side and they got their tactics spot on. But we were nowhere near them. If it wasn't for the goalkeeper last night, Casper Schmeichel, we could have lost 2 or 3 goals. That's just my opinion. I don't know what happened to the team. Looked void of ideas in the first half. Second half, yes, we got up a wee bit better. But I would change the side for Saturday. I wouldn't have Greg Taylor in it. I wouldn't have Ingles in it. Kyogo, I wouldn't have him in it either. There's three or four players get pass marks. Austin Trusty was superb. Goalkeeper. And to be honest with you, I'm struggling to find who else got pass marks in the whole game.
Let's get stuck into this Arnie Ingles debate, because it will be popular tonight. I can see more calls coming in. To be fair, been bubbling away a bit before last night as well. What's your take on
it? He's a good player. Look, he's come into a club with a big price tag. He's a young player. He's a young lad. He's going to take a dip. He has taken a little bit of a dip in form. And that's why I said earlier, I think that Bernardo has been patiently waiting for his opportunity. I won't be surprised. I agree with James. I think there will be some changes made at the weekend.
See, just quickly on that though, I don't think making a couple of changes, with no disrespect, for that home game, I don't think that's that big a deal. I think that's quite easy. Yeah. Let's talk about it more in the sense of what's Celtic's best team just now.
Best team, I think if he was getting into the cup final, he would start with the team that played last
night. Still beat, so for the cup final was this weekend.
I think
he still would, think Ingles.
I think he would, yeah. I thought that's what he's brought for. That's why they paid the big money for him. Look, he has taken a dip, but he's still a very good player. You look at Celtic last night and people will say, oh, we weren't at it in the first half, we were too passive. That was down to the opposition. They were brilliant. They went man for man. They were brave. They knew that Celtic's strengths, Midley Park playing through the lines and McGregor dominating the ball, Ingles and Hatate moving into spaces. They had done their homework. They were excellent first half. When they got the changes in the second half, Celtic looked a lot better. But I think just now, I think if he was getting into his next a cup final against Rangers, I think he would start with that starting 11.
Would that be right though, Mark?
I disagree. I'm an Ingles fan. I agree with Daz that he's a top player. He looks great, great attributes, started well, but it comes a time that everybody can see he's struggling a wee bit. And I thought he struggled last night, but he wasn't alone. I thought Hatate had won his poorest games in a Celtic shirt. So if it was the cup final tomorrow, I think what Daz said earlier, I think Bernardo has shown enough that he would probably start. But that's the luxury when you spend 11 million on Ingles. And what did they spend in Bernardo? That was pretty decent money anyway.
Small compared to that though.
And you've got Luke McCown, who I actually thought was going to get some minutes last night for Hatate. I think I seen him get stripped at one point and he sat back down. But you've got that luxury that if you aren't on your game like Ingles is, aren't performing well, you will get replaced.
I think though, I've seen a lot of people saying, he's only young, he's going to get better, don't write players off so early, look what happened with Nicholas Koenen. That's all fine, but this doesn't have to be only about Arnie Ingles. What about if you make it about Paolo Bernardo?
Yeah, but like,
do you know what I mean though? Like, it's not about, you don't have to be super negative and super critical and super knee-jerk on Arnie Ingles. I think all a lot of people are saying is Paulo Bernardo's deserved a start. You know, let's not, don't worry about being overly critical of Arnie Ingles. What about Paulo Bernardo?
I've sung Bernardo's praises from day one. I think he's got everything to go and be a top player. And I think that if it was me just now, I would be putting Ingles in the bench. I'd be playing Bernardo because I think he brings something different to the team. I think he's a top player. I think he can go with a run of games and show that. He's got everything in his locker. Ingles will come. He's got great talent. He's a young lad. He's just came to Scotland. He's just learning the Scotland way of playing football. He's not done too bad, but he has taken a little dip. And I just think it is time for someone with the class of Bernardo to get in there.
James, are you still feeling comfortable, confident about your chances of getting to 10 points, three games left to get two of them?
Well, last night, the time was I could get beat, so you know, I've Borussia Dortmund, so that should help us. I would say the second last game, the last home game against Young Boys of Switzerland, who have got no points, so if we can't beat them, it's a bad day. I think we'll get there, but it's going to take a wee bit longer, hopefully.
Fair enough, thank you very much. That was James in Port Glasgow on 01419511025. Rangers fans, build up to tonight with us if you can. How are you feeling? What are your thoughts ahead of the game generally? Do you think you can do it? How much is Europe mattering to you at the moment? Would you start James Tavernier? What else would you do with the team? Give us a call and we'll speak to you next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon Dalziel and Mark Wilson are here looking back on Celtic last night, building up to Rangers tonight and taking you through Hearts against Cercle Bruges away. They've just gone behind. They've actually done okay. Hearts have been fine within the game. James Penrice is continuing to show his great form. Lauren Shankland had a lovely back heel flick that just drifted past the post, and then Cercle Bruges have went up, have gone up the other end and opened the scoring. Just one to mark your card with. This could be a nice, interesting uplift for you ahead of the weekend. Thanks to Specsavers for the official eye and ear care partner of the Scottish FA, we've got a pair of tickets to give away for the Scotland v Finland Women's Euro 2025 playoff final tomorrow night at Easter Road. A huge game, obviously a two-legged affair to try and qualify for the Euros, and everyone who calls tonight goes into the draw for a pair of tickets. So anyone who's been on already is in the draw, and we will add Tam and Clyde Bank to that. Tam, how do you look back on Celtic last night? Are you happy enough for a bit more frustrated?
Definitely. Good evening, guys. Definitely. Get a point in the week for that. I totally agree there with everything that Gordon said there. He nailed it there. And listening last night as well to Neil Lennon, I don't know, I'm beginning to think I should get a job in television here as a pundit, because everything Neil Lennon covered last night after the match, that's exactly how I saw it. They were a good side. As a matter of fact, Celtic's got a ton of money in the bank, right? You could go out and pick any one of their players, get the money out and go and buy one of them. Because every one of their Bruges players were of a standard, they were quality. And I had pals of their mates of mine were saying, Celtic, one of that good, we're one of this, we're one of that. The reason being, we're one of this, we're one of that, is because they were up against a quality side. They weren't allowed to play the way they could. Because Bruges were a good team. And even the error for the own goal, the error for Big Cameron, that was a forced error. Because they were holding Celtic's head under the water. They wouldn't have let them up for air. And that's exactly what happened. They forced that error. Okay, somebody could say it was clumsy and whatever, you know. But they were pressing and pressing, and that was a forced error.
It's always going to be a combination, Mark. Like they were putting Celtic under pressure, but at the same time, Nicholas Kuhn could just have rolled it to Kasper Schmeichel, or Cameron Carter-Vickers could have just looked at where his goalie was. So I know what Tam means, but that's not. I mean, Celtic still definitely shot themselves in the foot on that one.
Yeah, well, both were true. In the full game, Celtic were off it last night. Not disagreeing with Tam, Bruges were very good, but there were so many unforced errors from Celtic last night. You just looked at how they passed the ball against Leipzig with speed, you know, forward, had runners, connected it brilliantly. Last night, there was a period in the first half they couldn't string four passes together, and that was nothing to do with how Bruges pressed. That was just simple stuff. And then the goal, you're right. So much could have happened that could have went back to Schmeichel. Carter Vickers could have actually went across to Trusty. He had a look at Trusty and didn't fancy it. So, yeah, they were putting pressure. But Celtic could have played better. But Tam's right. When you look at it, a point in the Champions League is no disaster, especially when you find yourself where Celtic are just now, right in the middle of that kind of table. You look at the teams beneath them, some of those big hitters, you think, well, no disaster. And Brendan Rodgers was spot on last night. How many occasions have we seen Celtic in European competition? You could just see the balance of the game. Bruges looked dangerous on the counter-attack, being picked off, and lose that game 2-1. So you go away for it, you see a point, move on to the next one.
You'd have snapped a hand off anybody that would say where Celtic are just now. I know that...
8 points.
8 points, and they've got young boys at home, right? They've got two away games which they can pick up points, but they can always rely on that. Young boys, no points, sitting bottom of the league. You know, they're a whipping boys. You'd imagine if Celtic played at any pace at all against them, then they'll comfortably win at Celtic Park. So they're in a great position. I know what you're saying, because I was sitting watching it and I thought, here we go. And I think every Celtic fan was watching the game and at Celtic Park were thinking, we're going to come out and play with the same speed, everything about the way we played the last time. It's going to be frantic. We're going to get the ball forward. We've got to play between the lines. I just thought they were brilliantly organised. I think they, every one of their players knew their job, knew their responsibilities, and they just went out there and made it so difficult for Celtic to get into any rhythm.
I think the man-to-man thing surprised Celtic and Brendan Rodgers. Because see, when you look at Greg Taylor and Alistair Johnson, particularly, because I'm looking at them, and you see the vertical and kind of inverted runs, and in their domestic league and in other games they've played, midfielders just drop them. And that's how they work the wee overloads in the wide areas. Last night, you're watching midfielders and front players track them all the way back. You're watching Nicholas Kuhn, couldn't shake off the left back. Usually the left back would then change over. I'll get this runner coming. You create a couple of yards of space. Kuhn gets on the ball, or whoever, Maeda gets on the ball. Wasn't it the case? They find it so difficult to find a yard of space. And that's down to Bruges. That's down to tactics. And yeah, they struggled. And that's why they struggled to create anything of note, especially in that first period. Actually, see, when you look at the game in the full 90 minutes, didn't really create much, did they? Didn't mean they have any saves of note apart from picking the ball at the back of the net. I don't think so. So that's unusual for Celtic at any level not to concede any clear-cut chances. Mm.
Tam, again, like everybody, still feeling pretty confident of going through?
Well, put it like this. See, before the game last night, right, and the way Celtic supporters see it, now Brendan Rodgers is never going to commit and say this on television, right? There's no Celtic player going to commit and say this, right? But before the game last night, they'd have been looking for a win. They've been looking for 3 points. As a matter of fact, I'll go so far to say, they've been looking for 3 points last night. They've been looking for 3 points against Young Boys, and they've been looking for 3 points against Dinamo, and even going down to Aston Villa. There'll be 30,000 or 40,000 fans going down to Birmingham, and they'll be looking for 3 points down there. They're never going to come out and say that and admit that. But that, the way they've been playing against Atalanta and then the Aberdeen match, the fashion in which the way they actually destroyed Aberdeen, and then the Leipzig game, I'm thinking, especially at the Leipzig game, I'm thinking to myself, and this is the God's truth, right? I've not had this feeling for 22 years. Right, I thought, here, there's something good going to come along here. Something good's going to happen here. Mm.
See, if you want to be really positive, like Tam, is Gordon, you know, looking at the sort of run of results and so on, is the real maybe positive way to look at it that it, you could say it was quite a belong at that level night, in the sense that if you're not good, like really not good, and we've discussed it and so many players off it, the worst that happens is you get out with a score draw, you move on, and your overall chances in the competition are still intact?
Yeah, keep yourself in a good position. I think Celtic had to dig deep last night. I think we all agree that the second half they were better. I think the substitutions, brightened everything up for them. Look, I don't see a disaster with these three games. Look, you've got two away from home. Aston Villa's got to be the big one, but you could be well done by that time.
And so will they be? That,
so you never know what's going to happen there. Look, if you're sitting here the now and you're thinking, even if you're looking at your Celtic Park against Young Boys, if you can't beat Young Boys at Celtic Park to go through, then you don't deserve to be there. Celtic have got plenty in their locker to win that night. Yes, they will still have to play decent, but they've got plenty there at Celtic Park against a team that can't buy a win. They're bottom of the league, they've got no points, they've no confidence, their tournament's gone, so you don't know what they're going to play. So I think Celtic are in a real strong position.
I think I read today, Mark, the chances of going through in 10 points, the Opta stats tell you it's dropped slightly, but it's 94% chance of going through in
still
10 points.
I'll take that, yeah.
Because I think Gordon's right, most people will go and target a win against Young Boys, but is it inconceivable that Celtic even go and get a point away in Zagreb first, and then obviously only leaving you needing a point against Young Boys or Villa?
I think they'll fancy that. Zagreb will be difficult, but I think we've seen enough from Celtic, especially when they went to Atalanta against a top side, that they can come back with a positive result. So you'd fancy them to take a point. And with Daz, if you can't beat Young Boys at home in this competition, then you probably don't deserve to be in the playoff rounds.
Yeah, thank you very much to Tam. What about you Rangers fans? How are you feeling then? We are about an hour and 20 minutes just over away from kickoff in Nice. How are you feeling about it? Nadeem's going to give us a flavour of it. Nadeem, Europe, what does it mean to you at the moment?
How you doing, chaps? Hope you're well.
Good, thanks.
I think European football for us Rangers fans at the moment is probably the only lifeline that we've that we've got, Gordon. You know, it's the league's gone. You know, there's no way we're going to bring that back. Maybe even second place is going to look a bit doubtful. But the league's gone, so the only thing that keeps us going, what keeps me going as a Rangers fan just now, is a European form. We've done well in Europe so far. We've done well in Europe for the last three or four seasons. So that keeps us going. I think we will win tonight, Gordon. I really do. I think we all need that. And any great shakes, but we said that about, I suppose, maybe about Bruce last night. They all need to turn up and play really well. So we'll see how we go. But I think we'll at least get a draw, hopefully, of a win. I think I said to your producer that I was in a bit of a quandary about Tavernier, you know. And I don't know if you remember, a few weeks ago, I phoned up and said that I wanted him to stay in the team. But I totally understand that he's not been in the team. And I agree with that decision that Clermont's made. But maybe I think this is the time to maybe put him back in, because, you know, in terms of European football, you know, I think he played his best football for me in terms of in Europe. You know, he's scored some brilliant goals in Europe for us. So I'd give him a chance. I'd maybe put him back in the starting lineup, Gordon.
Ah, James Tavernier.
Yeah.
See, when James Tavernier eventually leaves Rangers and we don't discuss him one way or the other.
Can he come on here and sit with us?
Every single night. Where are we now, Gordon? Brought off after 69 minutes in the Hearts game, doesn't start the Dundee United game. There was an international break in between, so stuff about rests and all that, you know, sort of out the window. But then Rangers went great at the weekend without him. So where are we now?
That's all a matter of opinion. I'm sure it'll be mixed out there. I sort of, looking at the game tonight, if it was me, I'd probably bring him back in. I looked at Rangers against Dundee United. Now, they weren't great against Hearts second half. I thought Hearts played very well at Ibrox. But they got a clean sheet, right? And he goes against Dundee United and makes two changes to the back four. And I thought Rangers defensively were really poor, even for the goal. I thought the goal was schoolboy. Could take nothing away from Jim Goodwin, Dundee United. But from a Rangers point of view, I thought it was really, really slack and weak. So it'll be interesting tonight. I'm the same. Rangers are in a mixed bag, because I wouldn't be surprised if I go and sit and watch this game tonight and quite impressed with Rangers. You know, that's the sort of thing. See, if it was a league campaign, I'd be sitting thinking, I'll probably switch this off after 10, 15 minutes. But for some reason, I don't know if it's a case of they're away from home, Nice will come out and probably attack. It'll be an open enough game. Rangers can get at them. So I don't know if that's the situation. When teams like Dundee United come, and especially second half, sit in and make it difficult for them, they run out of ideas. But I think tonight, I think your captain's important. And me personally, I would bring Tavernier back in.
Quickly, Mark, do you think he'll come back in?
I actually don't know, because he changes that much. Why? Why would he?
That's what I was going to say.
Unless he's been outstanding in training.
No one tends to care what I think, but... Why would he come back in?
If he does start tonight, that's the question. I'll be like, why? Why leave him out for a period, then bring him back in? All very random, yeah. But that's the way team selection's been for Philip Collin.
Actually, let's hear a clip, because he spoke about this game and sort of alluding to Nadine's point about Europe and Gordon's point. He addressed the fact, this notion that the club are apparently better in Europe.
I don't agree with the story that the style of playing, what we want to do, suits Europe but doesn't suit domestic football. I think we had also, with Yanis Hadji not being available for the squad long time, injury of Tom Lawrence, injury of Oscar Cortes, injury of Rabi Matondo, we lost a lot of creativity in that way, and we had to find for other solutions. Nedim has been playing a lot on the left side. He can play there, but he can play also in the midfield. And Nedim and Vaclav had to play all the games also with the national team. So those are things that are taken in account. So getting all these players back will raise also our freshness in our offensive part, and will raise our creativity also.
Are you buying that, Nadim? It's just down to players like Rabi Matondo, etc., being out injured?
No, I mean, I just sometimes think, Gordon, I mean, what kind of planet has come on, you know? And it's unusual for me not to support a Rangers manager, and I've been there long enough to know that things do change, you know, in time. But for me, I mean, blame it on injuries, nonsense. Every club has injuries, and you don't need to be a sports journalist or somebody with a high IQ to figure out that when Rangers play in Europe, they play better. because they don't have to break down teams as much as they do in the SPL. You know, that they got more time in the ball, they can you know, get in behind it because there's a bit more space. But when they play domestically, teams sit tight at the back and they can't break them down. So for him coming out and saying he doesn't agree with that, what is he on? What is he talking about? Does he not watch the same games that we watch? I just don't understand it.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of Rangers fans like that listening to Rangers manager. And we all sit and go, well, what's he really talking about? He mentions their creative players, like, say, Hadji. He's had Hadji in the squad and doesn't start him, doesn't play him. He brings him on for the bench. So I don't know where he's coming from. Look, Rangers have got injuries to some key players, right? No doubt. But they've still got a good enough squad. They've still got a big enough squad that they can cover that, or they should have. But I just think that sometimes it comes out and
some of the names mentioned as well, with no disrespect to him, and we've seen what he's capable of at his high point, but has Rabbi Matondo ever been enough of a part of this Rangers team to say, oh, I wish we had Rabbi Matondo? You could say that in the sense of he would be an option. Clearly you would rather have him than not. But this notion that Rangers... the style that you're seeing is just because Rabbi Matondo's injured. That's hard for Rangers fans to swallow that stuff.
Well, it's just, he's a master at finding an excuse in anything. So the subject is style. We've got no style. How can I blame that? I'll blame it on the injured players. But that's a glaring, obvious thing that's staring you in the face, that Matondo didn't play every week. Matondo was an impact player, like Daz says, came off the bench sometimes. Sometimes started, was okay. Cortez was the same, had injuries, but in and out. So, no, just another excuse, I'm afraid.
Well, you'll have your answer soon, Nadine, because the Rangers team news will be coming up after I tell you about this.
Clyde One's Cash for Kids Mission Christmas.
With J&D Pierce, Scotland's premier structural steel specialist. Think steel, think quality, think Pierce.
It's that time of the year where we're asking you to help us make a difference to so many children in our communities that are in an environment where it's tough at the best of times right throughout the year in terms of food to buy, homes to heat, winter clothes to buy, and then you add in Christmas sort of treats or luxuries and that stuff just falls by the wayside. We don't want any child to miss out. So with your help, let's try and make a difference this Christmas. Simi are based in Townhead. They work alongside young people and their families to help them achieve their hopes and ambitions for themselves and their communities. Molly Buckingham explains the work they do at Christmas to remove the stigma from asking for food packages.
Cash for Kids has helped us immensely over the years. We get money from them. The Christmas money in particular will pay for Christmas parties for the young people. But we also do a big, what we call Christmas Fakeaway programme. This is to help the families that we work with at a really expensive time with food costs. But we wanted to do that in a way that didn't have the stigma of kind of food parcels. So what we do is we create cook-along videos, recipes, and then we give every family the ingredients for those recipes. And then we share the recipes with each other, and we share, the parents will send us videos of what they've cooked, and the families will cook together, and then just helps the kids make sure they get nutritious food over the Christmas holidays.
We guarantee every penny raised, 100% of it goes straight back to the families that need it, the families that need your help. So Clyde1.com/mission, and that's Cash for Kids Mission Christmas, supported by J&D Pierce.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to @ClydeSSB on X now. 0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Don't forget, every caller who makes it through tonight goes into the draw for a pair of tickets to the Scotland Women's Euro playoff tomorrow against Finland at Easter Road. Huge game that, and you can win some tickets just by coming on here and making a point to the panel. Gabriel has the big team news from Nice though, take it away.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard European Group Stages. With UK Debt Expert, the top team helping you tackle your debt. Verify at ukdebtexpert.co.uk. May not be suitable for all. Free advice at moneyhelper.org.uk.
Yes, I certainly do, Gordon. Just one change for Rangers from that draw against Sunday United at the weekend. But it's not captain James Tavernier. He remains on the bench. Cyril Jessus. He drops among the substitutes, and in comes
Hamza Igamane to lead the line away here at the Allianz Riviera Stadium. And the team will be as follows. Jack Butland in goal. Dujon Sterling right back with John Suter and Robin Proper centre-half. Jeffrey on the left. Conor Barron and Nicola Raskin in midfield with Mohamed Diamande just in front of them. Vaclav Cherny and Nedim Bahrami remain the wingers. And it is Hamza Igamane up top.
Well, there we go. You've got your answer. James Tavernier does remain out of the team. What do you think?
Right, okay, we're not surprised with that. I was surprised that Dessers, who's been scoring important goals for him, I know he's not been hitting the heights, and I know he's coming in for a bit of criticism. He's left on the bench tonight as well, so he's mixed up again. It'll be interesting to see Igamane, how he plays as a lone striker. So it's an interesting team. I don't think I would have picked that. I thought he'd have went with Dessers. I know that, you know, some of the Rangers fans are not too pleased with his performances, but this season he's been getting big goals.
Yeah, I mean, he scored in three games in a row, Mark. Motherwell, Olympiacos and Hearts leading into Dundee United. But if we're being honest, I mean, the performance levels haven't been there at all.
No. I mean, in Europe, I think he's certainly contributed even without his goals. So I know he's missed chances, and that's what it always comes back to with striker. But I think the way he's led the line and the way he started the press and things, especially away in Malmo, I thought he was very good. So I'm surprised at that as well. I'm got to the stage now, I'm surprised he's kept the same back four because he chops and changes so much. Thought there might have been an argument. Is Yilmaz on the bench?
He's on the bench, yeah.
I thought there might have been an argument if he was going to change anything in the back four, that he may have come in. Because I think defensively, Jeff Day does struggle. I think going forward, he looks a player. I think he can get up and down the pitch very, very well. But I think if you're looking for a left back or any full back to defend your box, he's certainly not it. So I thought Yilmaz might have had a wee chance, maybe a wee bit away from full fitness.
Is the difficulty with Jeff Day, if you take him out the team, who carries the ball quickly?
I think in any area
of that team.
Since I've seen him, Gordon, my opinion of him, I think he's one in front of the fullback. I think he's a sort of a left-sided midfield player that can go forward. He's got a nice left foot. He's got a good delivery. I like him being positive. I like him going forward. I don't like his defending. It's the same at the weekend. He's got to look at that and see that. You know, the fact that there's a danger there. He doesn't get in cover the Dundee United man.
Are you all in agreement on that? And don't be offended, let me defer to the fullback first, because I've seen Andy Halliday and others come on and said the same, and then other people say, well, you've got two centre backs and Dolby's the centre forward. Is it definitely Jeffrey's fault?
I think the centre back should have dealt with it. But they should have. Both of them are culpable. But I think when it's that central, I wonder why your centre-back's getting dragged away. So I think then you have to look at the full unit. I think, where's Suter? Okay, where's the right centre-back?
So an initial mistake, but then once that made, it has to be Jeff Day.
Gordon, I'm not putting the full blame at his door, but I think he's got to react quicker when... I agree with Mark. They've got two centre-halves in there, and the two of them are found wanting. So Proper, first and foremost, has got to do better. He's got to know what's over his shoulder. But when Jeff is looking at this,
I think when he sees the danger,
and when
then,
he sees the danger, and it's the same, away. It's same. I'm sorry, at Hampden where Andy's goal, he's away running to put his washing machine on, and Andy nips in to score. He doesn't go and cover. Now I keep saying the positives for me with him. I like him going forward. I think he gives Rangers a good attacking option, but I think he's got to brush up on his defending.
Without doubt, with the fullbacks we've played with him before, that their sole purpose is they're just looking forward all the time. So they're thinking about getting forward while the cross is still coming in because they think their goalkeeper's going to catch it and they're going to steal a yard. Jeff Day is that in a nutshell.
Okay, well, big Rangers team news. Igamane leads the line, no Dessers. Tavernier stays out the team. Are you happy or not with that, Rangers fans? Give us a call and we'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on then, Beat the Pundit time. Always good fun every night of the week, especially a Thursday. Let's see what these two can come up with tonight. 0141 951 1025, and the lines close at 7.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out the Clyde One Facebook page now. Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Mark Wilson are here on the usual number. We're building up to kick off in Nice. Big team news coming out over there. No James Tavernier again, and Dessers left out, replaced by Hamza Egeman in attack. Hearts still trail Cercle Bruges by a goal to nil on the hour mark. They're actually playing fine. They're well within the game, but they do trail at the moment. And what about last night, Celtic fans? How do you look back on it? The performance, the result, the team effort, the individual performances. Let's go through it all with you. And anything else that you think you want covered on the last hour of the show, now would be the perfect time. Because remember, every caller who makes it through to make a point to the guys goes into the hat for a pair of tickets to tomorrow's Euro playoff final for Scotland women taking on Finland at Easter Road. Are you two children okay? I can just hear you laughing
away. This
kid
take his affair
in the background.
He's stifling a sneeze at the minute. He has to keep looking.
Jeez, that Christmas tree's in danger.
Yeah, the Christmas tree, the studio.
Okay,
I'm worried
there
about the tail. Yeah, I'm fine.
I think I'm carrying a bit of cold as well here, so I've got a hand in my pocket. I know.
I'm sitting away from him.
Do you know what's been bothering me just before we play, just for anyone who is watching in the live stream? Why have you come dressed as Nick Walsh tonight to your mom? You look exactly like a ref.
It's good, isn't it?
That is a ref's t-shirt. Zip nice, that down a wee bit.
Is it a ref's
look
t-shirt?
At that.
Oh, that's lovely.
What a referee this guy is.
It's all Adidas.
I thought I had the reputation of hanging out with
Sports Direct.
You're a sponsor?
Yeah, 20 quid full outfit. I was coaching today. I was on a coach education
course.
So that's
given to you?
Given to me, yeah.
Because otherwise you have chosen to dress
as a ref.
Like a referee.
I wouldn't go that far. Not like your good self, good
Willie.
Exactly.
Hey, what about his new trainers?
They're belters, aren't they? You like them?
I like them.
Nobody got them.
Vintage.
You've been out running?
Is it vintage?
Put them in vinted for 60 quid. Brand new.
That's what they told you. Somebody's just stuck.
No. They've been in the box and they were
aye.
Oh, 60 quid. Boy wanted 130 quid. I says, I'll give you 60. There you go.
Well, he's the worst negotiator
exactly
in the world.
And I'm the best, eh?
He's unbeaten the pundit.
Have some shame.
He must have been desperate.
He was desperate to get
60,
them away.
60, that's terrible. He should have gave him a wee sum.
Definitely not.
Anyway, let's play.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. Mark, you are still best of the rest.
I know this.
Behind Halliday and Hannah, only one loss this season.
Yeah, pretty strong.
You only one loss?
One loss.
Big night for you. A win takes you level with Brian Graham.
Oh,
but he's only played a couple of times.
Mid-table, mid-to-bottom table, something like that.
Mark, I've won 10 out of the last 11, right?
Yeah.
And I'm still mid-table.
That doesn't
add up to me.
You're not mid-table. You're below mid-table.
Whoa. How can you be low? But I've picked up 30 points out of 33.
11-4. You've lost four times. 11-4.
Four times.
I've won 11 and I've lost four.
Oh, I was in Arnold Clark the other day and I met the woman. Remember the lady that phoned in?
Because he goes in to get free coffee out of Arnold Clark.
I don't like you in there. By the way, run a bit of coffee.
Were they asking for me to go back in?
No. She said you're quite awkward because you asked for oat milk and you asked for a takeaway cup and, you know, there's so many demands in a car garage
love
for a
me
coffee.
Love me.
I promise we will play, but just a very quick, strange coffee machine anecdote I had this morning. I went into, you know, the it's like they call it a service station now, don't they? That the petrol station at Palmady, just off the M74.
Yeah,
just
along
that, right? So in there, they've got the coffee machine, two guys in front, and they were taking ages, to be honest. But that's fine. I'm patient, waited my turn. I wasn't in a rush or anything. And one of them turned around and goes, "Here, mate, listen to this. See if you press large on the machine, but you use a regular cup, it just about still works, and then you only need to pay
for a regular.
But the only point, this guy's cup was like overflowing. So I'm thinking,
terrible advice.
So he puts the lid on it and it's like foaming all out the top just so that he can steal an extra 50, 20 mil of coffee and only pay the regular price for it.
That's
good.
That's
shameful.
Pointless.
That's my next one.
Terrible advice.
Listen, don't burn yourself. Dylan's and Johnson. How's it going, Dylan?
Evening, guys.
Have you ever played before?
No, I've not.
Right, okay. The good thing about this, Dylan, as well, is because thanks to Neil Stephen and the team at Cairnhill Steel Structures, during Cash for Kids Mission Christmas, there's £10 to Cash for Kids for every answer you get right. So even if you lose, as long get something on the board for us and you're doing your bit for the local community. Happy with that responsibility?
Let's do it.
Try and get me on a tenner,
putting
Dylan
a bit of pressure on them, because if you don't get any,
think of
the kids.
Did you hear it at the start of the week, though? We trialled it for the first night and it was like mastermind. Oh, it was so tough.
Oh, Chin's one was 2-1. The boy got
a tenner.
Oh, 30 quid God. Between them.
Come on, Dylan. Don't let the children down.
Hugh got 10 last night, or he went for the 10 or something.
Oh,
Hugh
did
last
he?
Night. I wasn't here. But anyway, it's £10 per correct answer for the listener. So what we do here is toss the coin. Heads, it's Mark Wilson. Tails, it is Gordon DL. And it is. It's Mr. Mid-table or below, Tails.
Hey, good luck.
Right, come on, Dylan. Get a few, because I'll certainly be putting a few out there as well. So let's do it for the kids. Yeah, Dylan?
Yeah, go for it.
He's ready. Right,
don't bottle it.
Give Gordon something else to listen to. Dylan, you've got 30 seconds. Just answer as many as you can and pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
No worries.
Right, your time starts now. Who scored an own goal for Celtic last night? At what championship side stadium did Glasgow Warriors used to play their home games?
Pass.
Which French club did Stephen Fletcher play for?
Monaco.
Name any team that takes part in the Glasgow Cup.
Pass.
Cercle Bruges played which other Scottish team this season? Playing Hearts tonight.
Celtic.
Let's bring back Gordon DL. Ready?
Yes, I am ready.
Oh, you two dancing to there. That was
I'm gonna a bit of Africa total.
Oh, it's brilliant. We just put it on. Kilimanjaro mentioned there. Took me right back.
Took you right back to some poor wee guy lugging your toilet up there. So that you could
Gordon, come on, I'm ready.
Right, okay.
I want to do it for a kid. He gets anxious.
I like to get on with it.
I think he knows about this win percentage is not.
Yeah, I'm going to climb the table tonight.
Okay, 30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. Who scored an own goal for Celtic last night?
Carter Vickers.
At what championship side stadium did Glasgow Warriors used to play their home games?
Parti Thistle.
Which French club did Stephen Fletcher play for?
Lyon.
Name any team that takes part in the Glasgow Cup.
Queen's Park.
Cercle Bruges played which other Scottish team this season?
Hearts.
Playing Hearts tonight.
Oh.
What five letter word is on the Rangers badge?
Ready.
True or false? Ali McCoist featured in a movie alongside Michael Keaton.
He was in a movie.
Hurry up.
I would say that's true.
Okay.
I don't think Michael Keaton was in it.
So why did you
Shot
say true?
To glory in
why
it?
Did you say true then?
Because he's been in a movie.
Okay. Dylan, what do you think?
Terrible.
See you, Dylan. Bye.
Dylan, as long as you can give us a tenner to cash for kids, I'll settle for it.
Was Dylan poor? Oh, Dylan.
Who scored an own goal for Celtic last night? Cameron Carter-Vickers both got it. All good. £10 to cash for kids.
Yes, well done, Dylan.
See you, Dylan.
At what championship side's stadium did Glasgow Warriors used to play their home games at? It was Partick Thistle.
2-1 Dazzler.
Duncan Weir on the show last week of
yes,
Glasgow
I did.
Warriors.
Yeah.
He was great value, actually. We'll get him back on. Better pundit than any of the rest of you, quite frankly. 2-1 to Gordon DL.
Oh, this is easy.
Which French club did Stephen Fletcher play for?
Marseille.
Yeah, but you said Lyon.
You said
yeah.
Lyon for some
no,
reason.
No, I meant Marseille.
What?
I meant Marseille, that's what I said, didn't
you
I?
Did say Lyon.
Did I?
Even by your standards, what do you want me to do with that?
I would give me it. Could you have just said, I meant Marseille?
No, absolutely no chance.
I knew
No.
Right. Did Dylan get that?
No, he did not.
No.
2-1. Name any team that takes part in the Glasgow Cup. I have to say, Dylan, I was hoping you would just guess a team from Glasgow at this point, but he passed it. Rangers, Celtic.
Oh, passed.
It's usually the youth teams, isn't it, for Rangers?
The B teams are.
It's Partick Thistle, Clyde, and Queen's Park. Gordon goes 3-1.
See, for Dylan to give 50 quid for the kids, I'll need to give him 40.
Cercle Bruges played which other Scottish team this season?
Kilmarnock.
Wouldn't have asked
did
you for
Dylan
this
get.
Dylan's
holding his phone.
Dylan's now out of time as well, so the kids can get a tenner and we'll move on.
Dylan.
Which five letter word is on Rangers badge? It is ready. Gordon DL gets it as well. And you're right, Michael Keaton was in A Shot at Glory. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1 for Gordon DL. I don't know if it's a bad omen, Dylan. You're a Rangers fan. Are your team going to do better than that tonight?
Hopefully. We always seem to pull out a good result in Europe, so hopefully tonight's a night.
Yeah, well, why is that? Because we keep debating it, and everyone, to be fair, usually just says it's the style, but then Philippe Clement says that that's not the case. Do you think it is? It's the style thing?
I think the point was already made earlier on. We seem to
play better in Europe because the teams aren't sitting behind the ball a lot of the time. I don't think we've got any sort of game plan that can break down teams at all, and that's kind of one of the main issues.
Yeah. See this kind of pressure that Philippe Clement's under amongst the fans, Dylan. Can Europe change it? Like, in the sense that if you know win tonight, does that lift any of the pressure off Philippe Clement, or is it not linked to? Does it always just come back domestically?
For me personally, not, because Europe's a bonus. You need to provide your results domestically before looking at anything else.
Is that the case for you guys? Is that the frustration of the difficult spot he now finds himself in, where the damage is done so much that, you know, 1-0 win tonight away in Nice and Europa League would be a very good achievement?
Yeah.
I don't know if it really moves the dial. And then of course, if things were to go wrong at Perth at the weekend, we'd have a world of pain on the phone.
But you can't turn it around. But you need to be positive. If he gets a result tonight, you can't argue. That's him in, 10 points? So you'd imagine that's okay. He goes to Perth, he gets a result, and then next month becomes so important. League Cup final could turn... Now, I wouldn't be going in with a lot of confidence, but a League Cup final can turn things around for him. But his performances have been, you know, poor. I've got to say, they've been boring. The fans have switched off. They're leaving their droves. He's got a big job to turn them around. I really think he's got a massive job to turn them around. But if you start getting results and you start looking and saying, well, hold on a minute, we've done well in Europe, we're getting into a League Cup final, they play Tottenham, I think, three days prior to the Cup final. So there's a big month come up for them. Look, every manager can turn it round, but I don't have a lot of faith in them, if I'm honest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it may just hold the fans at bay for a while if you get a decent result, but it can work the opposite way. If you go and get a bad result tonight, the pressure just intensifies, so of course you're looking to put on a decent performance, but if you win, it's a great result, you know, and you get a wee bit of confidence in the team. But domestic form is your bread and butter. Gordon Strachan used to hammer that into the team all the time in the dressing room. European football's brilliant, but domestically, winning the league was our bread and butter every single year. That was our main focus, and it should be the same for Rangers.
Thank you very much to Dylan on the line. 01419511025. Couldn't get the Beat the Pundit win, but £10 to Cash for Kids, so every little helps.
Does that elevate me up into the top four?
No, I told you could go level with Brian. You're level ninth.
I can't.
Dreadful performance.
There's 12 wins and 4 defeats, and I'm 12th.
Can you show the standard? You're in the big boys in the top tier.
Explain percentages.
I think it should be on a points.
The standard is high amongst the pundits. As an example, the next guy above you is Hugh, right? And so Hugh's 8th.
Many Hugh played.
He's got an 80% win rate.
How many has he played?
Do you want me to break your heart?
Yeah.
Exact same amount as you, and yet you're on twice a week and he's only on once a week.
Right, okay. And many has Hugh lost?
Hugh has
12-3. And I'm
11-4.
I'm not too far away then.
Never mind that. Is any listeners actually won decent money for the kids? Has it been a tenner every night? Are the sponsors getting away scot-free with us?
Listen, we're paying like 5 last night.
Okay, that's decent. That's what
they
we
should
want.
Put a tenner in for us as well. There's 60
Listen,
quid.
They've been generous enough as it is. Should you calm down?
I think you can get a few quid. You were quite good there.
Did you get them? Oh no, you missed out. Leon, or well,
Marseille. I knew Marseille.
Okay,
just give me 6-1.
Lorraine is a Rangers fan. Feeling confident tonight, Lorraine?
I want to say aye, because it's Europe, but we just never know how we're going to play.
Yeah, what does that look like tonight, though? Because you have done, to be fair, you know, pretty well in Europe this season. Can you not rediscover that tonight?
Aye, absolutely. I think that's the kind of thing where, you know, like we play really well in Europe, we'll get a good result, and it kind of fills the fans with that kind of confidence that we're going to take it into the weekend or the league games, and then that just doesn't happen. So then it kind of like starts that cycle all over again.
Lorraine, what's your thoughts on the team tonight? You happy with it?
I'm not going to lie. I'm surprised that Ingemann's in. I don't think he brings really anything. Any time I've watched him, I feel like he doesn't really know where he should be. A lot of the time he's pulled out in the wings, and then when we're looking to play the ball in, there's no anybody there. I mean, I'm a Dessers fan. Don't get me wrong. Like, I know that he misses chances and yada yada, but for me, he scored three games and then obviously didn't score at the weekend, and now he's dropped. For me, for as much as he does miss chances, if you're looking for a goal, I always just feel like he's the guy that would get you one.
I'm with Lorraine. I was surprised when I seen the team coming in. I don't think he had his finest moments at the weekend. I don't think a lot did against Dundee United. But I think Lorraine highlights the fact he can get you goals. And yes, he misses chances, but he's there to take the chances. And I agree with Mark what he said earlier. Some of his performances away from home in Europe have been decent. I think he's worked very, very hard. I think that's a big call from the Rangers manager tonight. Obviously, everybody was looking at Sterling and Tavernier. He's went with Sterling, no problem with that. But when you're away from home, you're looking for that goal, you're looking to get up the pitch. I'd have probably stuck with Dessers tonight.
I think the inconsistency is the thing that Rangers fans will be, you know, querying. Like, Igamane, like Lorraine said there, he's come on at the weekend for Barami, was it, on the wing? Or he's came on in wide areas. Danilo, I know he's not on the squad.
That's what I was going to say. I wonder if that is part of the issue, and then this just goes back to other fitness issues and various other ways that things have been managed. But if Danilo had been in the squad, he would have started instead of Dessers tonight, wouldn't he?
I think he might.
So I think Dessers was coming out of the team anyway.
Yeah.
But he's coming out of the team on the back of a poor performance against Dundee.
It's more than that. Listen, I know you stick up for him, and it's admirable.
But he scored goals.
I think you have to be careful.
And he scored important goals.
You're nearly slipping into Mark Wilson, Nadir Chiefchi territory here. Trust me, I'm saying this. I'm looking out for you as a friend. I just don't want you getting
I know he's got his faults. I know that he frustrates the Rangers fans. I know all that. There's big games that they've played this season, and he's come up with a couple of goals. He's the top goal scorer just now. He was dreadful at the weekend, but not a lot of them get pass marks. I just think that's a big call tonight. I really do.
See, with Igamane as well, when he's played through the middle, he's been hooked pretty quickly.
It's a big night for him,
against
isn't it?
Hibs, was he taken off at half time? Mm-hmm. He played another game up there not too long ago, I can't remember, but he was withdrawn pretty early. It is a big night for him, but a big night for Clement, who's made that decision, because as much as we criticise Dessers, there is a lot to his game.
Okay, but I think this is maybe where the Rangers fans differ, and they can correct me. Lorraine is a big Dessers fan, to be fair, though. I don't think this is a decision they would hold against Clement. No, if this doesn't work, I don't think you're getting loads of people saying that's a disgrace, you should have played Dessers.
Well, it depends how the game pans out. Now, I'm not talking about chances. If they're going to be under the cosh, and let's say Nice are able to just, you know, play out and things aren't right, things don't look right and how Rangers are pressing, Rangers fans are entitled to point to Malmo and Olympiacos and say, well, it looked okay in that respect in those games, but you've changed it. Is this guy giving us enough up front? Mm-hmm. If Igamane goes and plays well, scores a couple of goals, he'll probably find himself in the team come Sunday.
Right decision to leave Tavernier out, Lorraine?
I mean, to be honest, I'm not really kind of up nor down with that. I wouldn't be gutted if he wasn't in, but at the same time, I'm not gutted that he's not, just because I think the way he's kind of trying to do it now, it's probably something that should have been done with Tavernier a few seasons ago, in terms of, like, he's not there for every game. And obviously his performances haven't really merited it, to be fair, so...
What about what that does, Gordon, as a team, you know, or a style of tactics? Because Cherney, to be fair, he's getting pass marks. Everyone would agree with that. But he's also the type of winger that comes in the pitch. So educate me here. Because in theory, if you've got that, then you'd look for width to come from the fullback. Mm. You know, the old James Tavernier, that would be right up his street. Mm-hmm. It doesn't look like he's really doing that anymore. But then, does Dujon Sterling do that? You know, what's the blend like there? Let's not make it all about, oh, I think Hearts might be getting a penalty here for a handball. Referee's going to the monitor.
I think he's looking at Sterling as probably, you know, a better one-to-one defender than Tavernier. I think that, especially in the second half at the weekend, Rangers missed the fact that Tavernier, and he's not been great with his crosses and his numbers this season, but I still think he's a real threat from the wide areas.
Surely Hearts are getting this penalty, by the way.
You've got to think so. The boys punched it in the penalty spot, haven't they?
Yeah. In fact,
you're not allowed to do that.
He nearly caught it, to be fair to him. No, it's a definitely penalty.
Yeah.
And Shankland, was it Shankland takes him?
Ooh, what
a
don't
big, know if it could does, be a big he? Night for him.
What a big moment this could be yeah, for this Lawrence could be a turn, Shankland.
Yeah, turning point if he's taking him.
Some, he's gonna step up.
Yeah.
And you know, again, Mark, we've seen it tonight that anybody who watches Hearts, Lawrence Shankland is not playing badly in a lot yeah. of games. He just can't score.
I had this discussion with somebody the other day who on the coaching course who's down south and he's not scored any goals, he's having a terrible season. And I said the exact same. I said his link up play's been good.
Don't get me wrong, there will have been some games, but what a moment this is for
I
almost feel a bit nervous for him.
I know, he's a nice guy.
No, not even that. Just imagine that.
I like him. I've got a lot of time for him. I hope he puts it back in it.
The narrative is he always avoids if this doesn't go in.
Yeah.
And that takes big, you know what, I think, to go up and try it. But anyway, the Hearts skipper is going to give it a bash. Yep. Big inhale of breath. Right footed. Oh, and he's missed.
Oh my goodness.
Oh. He cannot catch a break. Is it over the bar?
It's over the bar. The camera angle was
that's the worst, camera angle I've ever seen of a penalty. Yeah.
He went over the bar.
He didn't look confident at me.
Oh my goodness.
That's a terrible miss. And that's just
is that just confidence down? What is this camera angle of this penalty?
Who's the director here?
What is happening here?
Get it back. We'll see it from behind.
Oh, it's ballooned over a bar.
Oh my goodness.
That's a great description. Ballooned over a bar. People listening will know what that means.
Exactly. They'll all be thinking, I can picture that in my head.
Cannot get anything right.
He can't buy a break. Look, he's come off such a fantastic season last year. He couldn't miss anything. He was brilliant. I would like to say as a striker, I've been there, but...
You only missed it one, didn't you?
Yeah. Yeah,
it feels weird to try and hyperanalyze a miss, but it's also not the type of. It's high, Mark.
Yeah, not a type apparently. A guy lacking in confidence.
Lacking in confidence is like you dribble one and you maybe drag it. Actually, he's tried to go top corner.
I thought he was going to just lace it low. Yeah, like kind of like Salah misses the other night.
The so-called safe one.
Yeah. But no, he certainly doesn't. It's goes
a real
for the
blow,
top corner.
Real blow for Hearts and Lauren Shankland. The big chance to get level. Thank you to Lorraine. We'll be back with more of your calls next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon Dale and Mark Wilson. I'm really sorry I had to interrupt our discussion at the break. They were doing their bit for international relations. A confused look on Gordon Dale's face as Mark Wilson mentioned it's Thanksgiving because Gordon Dale thought Thanksgiving was the 4th of July.
He's got his days mixed up there, his holidays in America. Happy Thanksgiving to all those in America. Yeah. My sister's out there in New York. She
going big in on
the family celebrate. Oh, they love it.
Pie and
they love it. So they do.
What did they do? Thanksgiving.
On Thanksgiving, they go to their friend's house. They've got a big, beautiful house out in the suburbs. Aye. They're all in.
Do you?
Yeah.
That's good, isn't it?
Their pals out there, you know, in Braveheart, Hamish, the wee boy, and young William Wallace and young Hamish, they live out there. So that's their pals.
Seriously? I thought there was going to be a link to him in some weird way.
That's their pals. Cut a bit with them out there. You've seen the film Braveheart, eh?
Oh, yeah.
Aye.
Wee Hamish,
aye. He was going to come and meet us in Germany, remember?
Oh, that's right.
Was he in Braveheart?
Aye, he likes the show.
Wee Hamish,
at the start
He's
of Braveheart.
The character.
No, the wee boy with the ginger hair at the start.
No, I can't remember.
Oh, never mind. Move on.
I can't remember. Come on with the teaser. I'm
building up to kick off.
Greatest film of all time.
For Nice against Rangers. Let's keep looking back on last night's Celtic fans. We could go back to that. We started the show on it. George and Hamilton wants you to name on the full-time teaser 8 Frenchmen who've scored... Or the last 8 Frenchmen to score for Rangers?
French.
Mm-hmm.
As in French.
As in from France.
French. Yeah. Who's a French player played with Rangers?
Well, there's 8 of them. So.
Yeah.
Olivier Bernard. Is he one?
Nope.
He didn't score, did he?
Good guess, though.
Boomsong.
Yes.
There you go.
Boomsong.
Your starter for 8. Come on, Daz.
Hold on. I'm trying to think.
Jean Alain Boumsong.
Jean Pierre. Somebody.
Nope.
No.
Darsfield wasn't he French, was he?
Darsfield.
Basil Bolli.
Basil Bolly, yes.
Yes.
Darshall, French Ghanaian.
Ah, so, gets the old Ghanaian bit of stunners there.
Or Gyan,
Basil Bolly.
Who did
you
say
Bolly?
Basil.
I shout that is.
Yeah.
Basil Bolly, right? That's come back a while.
Yeah.
Was Rothen French?
Ooh, he's not in the list.
Was he French? Oh, it's 2-0. Is it 2-0?
Oh, yeah. Honestly, a real sickener for Hearts. Hearts have definitely deserved something out of this game. Yeah. No doubt about it. Shankland missed a penalty and
had a header just after
Cercle
as well.
Bruges have gone and scored. That's a real sore one.
Is any current players for it?
Not on this list, no.
They're French.
Okay. Do you know what? See, before we bring in Kenny, who's on the phone, let's hear from some Rangers fans over there, because Gabriel has been out and about getting the local mood amongst the travelling support.
Paper over the cracks. I think he's done. There's no improvement. Mm-hmm. The style of play is horrific. I couldn't tell you the last time I went to watch Rangers and was looking forward to going. It's horrible. It's absolutely horrible. Which is not good. Yeah. And it costs a lot of money. European football will not be the salvation this season because we're not going to get to a final. There's no danger. There's no danger. We are a poor team. We're terrible. If you give us the ball, we're awful. The club's a shambles. Top to bottom, it's an absolute mess. Who gets rid of him? The cleaner? Should he go? Yes, he should. Should he have gone already? Yes, he should have. Willie, probably not.
I think if we had the money, we'd have been gone 3 months ago, to be honest with you. His time's up. The writing's on the wall. Ever since Clements came in, our style of play's been terrible. Even though we're getting results last year, the football's been terrible. And I think it's just coming to a head now that it's just not good enough. European football's been more open. Teams come and attack us. Obviously, in Scotland, teams defend. I think that's why we struggle to break them down. So I think that's why European football, you know, suits us best. It's funny because I'm more fearful for St Johnstone away than what I am Nice away. Which is quite weird. So I'm quite hopeful we get a result.
I've always got confidence in Rangers in Europe. Definitely. There's no reason why we can't come and get a result. 2-1, 1-0. Rangers should be setting their expectations to come and beat a team like Nice.
2-1 Rangers.
2-1 Rangers. Yeah. 1-1 or 2-1.
What do you think, Kenny, on the line? How are you feeling?
I'm a bit nervous. I think if Nice scores first, Rangers will get a doing. And I don't think that they've got the mentality to come back, be playing behind them. Anything. I think
they'll
get a doing.
Has he picked the right team tonight for you? Is that the best team Celtic have? Rangers have?
I'll still have Desser up front. No, I'll have Desser up front all day long. You know what I mean? I don't fancy our chances tonight, actually.
The kind of the thought there from a lot of the fans that travelled is this phrase you hear about, you know, papering over the cracks, and really it's just about domestic stuff at the moment.
It is, and I don't know why the CEO is going to wait to after the cup final. You know, has he got a fortnight's, you know, line time to wait, you know, to come in? How did he win right away? And I always thought Van Nistelrooy, he might have got Van Nistelrooy in after the cup final if we get humped. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, I think that's, I don't even know, is it cynical? Is it cynical to say that that is what it is? You just wait until after the cup final, get that kind of chapter. The Spurs game's a few days before. I think the AGM will be, what, the week before that or something? You know, you get all that out of the way. It's more of a cleaner start for them.
I they've been decent in Europe. You don't know what they're going to get. I don't particularly fancy them to win tonight. I think if you gave them a point, they'd be quite happy to come home. The League Cup final's got to be massive for them. You hear the fans over there travelling and they're spending a lot of money and they've no confidence whatsoever in the manager. They want rid of him. He should have went, you know, months ago. The style of football comes into question. And when that happens, you're in borrowed time. Unless something dramatic happens for the Rangers manager and all of a sudden he finds this pattern of plays and, you know, entertaining football and winning and tries and goes and wins the first piece of silverware, it's a matter of time for him.
There's a lot of mileage left before the cup final, though. You know, there's a lot to happen in that period of time. You know, it could go to Nice tonight. They could get a positive result. Follow that up on Sunday. Positive result against St Johnstone the following weeks. And everything's fine and ticking along. And you win the cup final. Everything's great. But what if they don't get a good result tonight? What if they go to St Johnstone and drop points again? And I'm not talking about getting beat, but just draw the game. Will a decision be then made to give yourself the best chance in the cup final? And people say, well, that's just crazy. But we've seen it before. I mean, when did Philip Clement actually come in and take the Rangers' job? Did he have maybe the semi-final to negotiate in the League Cup and then the final? And that was his first trophy. He'd only been there, you know, not very long. So is it that far out to suggest another manager might be in the thinking?
So, Kenny, do you think that, if possible, you think that CEO should be in now?
I think it should be in the new, and should be monitoring everything, make sure everything's ready to go. Because once we get ready to come on, I don't know if we've got the finances or no, but it's money. If we get a big investment, then Rangers can go forward. But we'll never win the league as long as Brendan Rodgers is manager at Celtic. Because she's got the voodoo sign over us. You know, I don't know how many managers have beat Rangers.
Yeah. That sounds like an old Hugh Keevans phrase, you know. But I do wonder, Celtic are just in a very different place from Rangers anyway, just for whatever reason. Hypothetically, if it wasn't Brendan Rodgers, they would, you know, they'd still have...
Well, if Postecoglou was still there with the style of football and the players and the budget that he would have had at his disposal. I agree. I think the league is well and truly gone this season. I do think that they've got enough if they keep going to finish second. But I think 15th of December becomes so, so important for a Rangers manager. Why the CEO's not in just now could be different reasons.
What do you mean by that, in terms of what outcome means what for the manager?
Because I think
because right now, if I'm going to take a wild guess here, that you, Mark, Kenny, 99% of people listening don't expect Rangers to win that final. Is that fair?
Yeah.
So what's the big drama if they don't then?
Yeah, because it won't come from us. It'll come from the Rangers fans. If he can't beat Celtic, and that's a benchmark, it's a one-off, it's a cup final. I don't expect him to beat Celtic.
Would the scale of it matter? Because, like I say,
I think if he loses his job.
It's not a nice position to be in. But I suppose what I'm saying, for any team, what is the point in pinning a manager's future on a game that you're actually a big underdog in now? Do you know what I mean? I take the point, and Hugh's got that great phrase, the Rangers manager who can't beat Celtic can't be the Rangers manager. But like, to repeat it, why would you pin a manager's future on whether or not he can win a game that he's a major underdog to win?
Yeah, but if he wins it, now you're hearing everyone that's calling in, you're hearing fans over in France talking about, you know, he should have been gone long time ago, we don't like the style of football, we don't like anything. So his future will probably decide that, because if he wins a cup, right, and it's got to take a big if, but if he wins a cup, then I think he stays on as a manager. I think he buys himself time. But I totally take on board what you're saying, but it doesn't matter Rangers supporters at all. If he gets beat with Celtic, and it could be a sore one the way Celtic are playing, then I think he's out the door. But I think the Rangers fans will just give up.
If he wins the cup and he keeps his job, I think it's just short-term thinking.
I get the positive side.
Of course, you beat Celtic.
I'm talking about this notion that, oh, if he doesn't win, then...
But regardless, it is short-term thinking. The League Cup, the greatest respect for Rangers and Celtic, what did they have to play? Three games, something like that, four games? And if you get to the final, more than likely to meet your rival. So if you win it, are you banking your hopes in every year just winning the League Cup before Christmas and that shoe? Should that be the level of your ambition? Well, of course not. The League Cup plays a huge part for Celtic because it's part of a treble. I know every Celtic and Rangers manager, that's the end goal of the season. Win everything domestically, that's what the fans expect. So for Brendan Rodgers, it's huge as well. But if you're Rangers, looks unlikely you're going to win the league. You're going to win the Scottish Cup, maybe. But again, it is just papering over the cracks what the Rangers fans in Belgium have just said there. So the results and the performances need to pick up dramatically from now to the cup final for the board and the Rangers fans to see a glimmer of hope. Just limping through and winning the cup final, I don't think does anything for anybody.
Kenny, score prediction then. What are you thinking tonight?
3-0.
There we go. As good as that. Kenny in Thornleybank, thank you very much. Can you name the 8 Frenchmen to score for Rangers? You've got Jean-Alain Boumsong and Basil Boli.
Yeah.
What about
Darcival? Did we say him?
Givarch.
Yes.
Stefan
Givarch. Right. Yeah.
The midfielder. Come on. No.
Oh, Jeremy, come on.
Hold on. The French goalkeeper. His name?
Come on, you can get it.
Bonnet.
You can do it.
Is it Bonnet? No, I can't remember it.
Come on, Dazzler, you can do it.
I can see him.
I think you're on the edge of a really good answer here.
Bonnet.
Sharp.
Aye, that's him.
Aye.
Lionel Scherboni. Aye.
That's him.
What? Tell him his issue.
What is that?
What's the question?
French.
Yeah, but what's the question?
French players.
When did Scherboni score?
A score. Did you not score for a header? He came up for a corner. Boom.
He was so happy.
Oh, you get you,
Scherboni. Great answer, mate. Well done. Right, I'll just play myself, Gordon.
Cercle Bruges 2, Hearts 0. That's a sore one, isn't it? I mean,
especially when you don't deserve
they
it.
They deserve something. They might even deserve to win it.
Well, the second goal comes in the 89th minute or whatever it was. But even the first goal was a kind of sclaffed, bouncing shot. Hearts had good chances, good territory within the game. Miss a penalty, Shanklin misses a header, other opportunities. So it doesn't tell the full story. But same result. Neil Critchley just can't seem to get anything going in his favour just now, but they're not playing badly, and it's the conundrum going into next games. Does he continue with Shankland, or when is the time to think we'll try something else?
More of your calls coming up next. Christmas cash countdown. Win £500,000 this Black Friday. This is it. The biggest phone call of the week anywhere takes place tomorrow. We're going to pay out a guaranteed £500,000. Just imagine it.
Wow.
Unbelievable. Text yes to 61025. If you've not done so already, do not run out of time on this. If you text yes to 61025, you get 2-for-1 on your first entry, plus 10 for the price of one if you enter a second time. Texts are 250 plus your standard network rate. You can enter on our website for 250 or call 0330 880 4523, and the calls are charged at a standard rate. It is over 18s only. All the rules for this Rayo Network competition are on our website, and the lines close at 5 p.m. tomorrow. Do not run out of time on this. It's so simple. Answer your phone. Don't need to worry about any phrases or number of rings. Answer your phone. £500,000 would be yours into your bank account straight after the call. Text yes to 61025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out the Clyde One Facebook page now. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hearts have lost 2-0 away at Cercle Bruges. Celtic, of course, last night. Let's reflect on that 1-1 draw against Club Bruges. And then tonight we're nearly there. What are we, 14 minutes away from kickoff? Nice against Rangers. So still time. And don't forget, every caller who gets on to the show tonight goes into the hat for a pair of tickets to the women's playoff Finland, the visitors to Easter Road tomorrow night. So you can still get involved. 0141 951 1025. Mark, anything else you think we've not covered from Celtic last night that you want to get off your chest?
Let me think. Did we mention much about the actual goal that
the Celtic scored?
Because we concentrate on Carter Vickers' calamitous own goal. But by the way, what a goal. Maeda was, I thought, was quite poor as well. I think there were so many underperformed within the team. And you touched on a great point earlier. If you're going to have that many underperforming, it turns out a brilliant result then in the Champions League, because it's the top level. But Maeda's goal to turn and swivel and hit it so quickly, I thought, outstanding piece of play. Vi obviously plays his part in that, because Taylor did struggle. So it was disappointing. And by the way, Cal McGregor got so much credit for the Leipzig game and how he popped things about. I thought it was as quiet as I've seen.
Well, I actually had a tweet from Paul who says, I think all the talk about Hatate and Engels being poor is fair comment. However, what about the elephant in the room? Callum McGregor probably had his worst game in a Celtic jersey, and I'm a McGregor fan, but he shouldn't be exempt from criticism.
You know when you know Celtic were struggling, see in the first half, you saw Callum McGregor standing and Carter Vickers had possession of the ball, and you saw Callum McGregor, you know, telling him, carry the ball, and Carter Vickers took the easy option, went back, and the two of them had a wee discussion in the middle of the pitch. You don't often see that, and it happened again shortly after, and that's when you kind of saw that Bruges had them sussed out and Celtic were really struggling. Brendan Rodgers needed them in the dressing room to tweak a few things. Definitely better in the second half, but that's when I thought, not like Callum McGregor or Carter Vickers.
It's very difficult when they go man for man. You know, the lad from Bruges wouldn't leave Callum McGregor alone. He wasn't going to be allowed to dictate the game like he did the last time.
Was there not one as well though where Callum McGregor tried to go and press him and he just spun away? And,
See, even being in the game,
I spend all my time in here. I very rarely go to these football matches. And she's having been there and seeing how ineffective Celtic's press was against Bruges versus the other way around. When you see it in person, they did such a good job, didn't they?
They certainly did. Look, I was doing the game live as well, and I made comment at the time that Celtic were so passive and Bruges, you know, just played through them so easy. And I was surprised at that because against Leipzig, who are a better side and technically, or on paper anyway, a better side, Celtic got it spot on. They were braver, but it looked like they weren't quite sure how to manage things. Even McGregor wasn't quite sure where to press, when to press, and it was too easy to play through. But again, credit to Bruges.
What about again, I feel like the main argument that developed over the subs, and we spoke about it earlier, is, you know, is it time for Bernardo to start instead of Engels? What about Alex Valle? Time to reward him a bit at left back?
I think he's been good every time I've seen him, Gordon. I think he's got a terrific football brain. He's a good player, he's good on the ball. I thought he made a bit of a difference last night. Greg Taylor comes in for a little bit of stick sometimes from the Celtic fans. It may be an opportunity now. It'll be interesting to see. He will obviously make changes because he's got that luxury of the people that he's got on the bench that they're not really going to weaken the team too much. But it'll be interesting just to see what he does at the weekend against Ross County at Celtic Park. He can afford to make a few changes and give one or two an opportunity. And I certainly think Bernardo comes into that category.
Yeah, I think Taylor's integral to how Celtic played, those inverted fullbacks, and he's got it spot on. But I thought he was just, you know, he was searching for space constantly. He just couldn't find it. And then I think on the ball, he just lacked a wee bit last night. But I think when you see Valle coming on, you can see quite clearly that he's a player in that sort of environment. He can handle the ball in tight situations. And I thought it certainly helped Celtic a lot get back into the game. So, yeah, I could see him starting a few more games. I can maybe even possibly see him playing away from home against Zagreb in a couple of weeks' time.
Okay, let's go back to Nice because we're almost at kick-off time. Let's speak to Gabriel.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard European Group Stages with UK Debt Expert, the top team helping you tackle your debt. Verify at ukdebtexpert.co.uk. May not be suitable for all. Free advice at moneyhelper.org.uk.
Yes, Gordon, despite an impressive start to the campaign in Europe, pressure is mounting on manager Philippe Clement. They've made their worst league start in 8 years, with questions over the style just as much as the results. Fans are reaching the apathetic stage now. Supporters I've spoken to here are all done with him, but don't expect any imminent changes. That hasn't stopped thousands of them following their team to the south of France. They've been in fine voice all week and they've packed out in that far corner of this Allianz Riviera Stadium 2 hours before kickoff. Haven't stopped singing. Got to be said though, it's a magnificent arena, but far from full just 5 minutes before kickoff. I'll quickly go through the team news again. Just one change for Rangers. Hamza Igamane in for Cyril Dessers. Still no place in the starting 11 for James Tavernier. So run through the team. It'll be Jack Butland in goal. Sterling, Suter, Proper and Jeffrey at the back. Midfield of Raskin, Barron and Diomande. Cherny, Bayrami and Igamane are the front three. The hosts themselves are in must-win territory. Francaise's side only 2 points so far in the Europa League. They've actually been the reverse of Rangers. Solid domestically, but poor on the continent. And of course, it's a team that Clement knows a lot about, having spent a couple of seasons as Monaco's manager. Nice's great rivals here on the Riviera. Nice themselves have got an inexperienced and youthful team, hampered by injuries and suspensions. Perhaps that's an opportunity for the Jers, who of course made that strong start to this campaign. 7 points, one more win would pretty much secure knockout football. They could even switch their attention to a possible top eight finish. It might not be enough to keep Clement in a job after Christmas, but it will give him a better chance under new CEO Patrick Stewart. Kickoff, 7 minutes away now, Gordon.
Go on, you two, quickly. Score prediction from
you. I don't think Rangers will get anything tonight. I think they'll lose 2-1.
I'll go 1-1.
There we go. Tonight. A bit of positivity from Mark Wilson. Well, it is almost kick-off time, just over 5 minutes to go. How are you two faring on the teaser? Let's round it off. Can you name the last eight Frenchmen to score for Rangers? You've got Boumsong, Guy Varche, Basil Boly, it even goes back there.
Couple of belters.
Yeah. Gregory Vignal.
Gregory Vignal, well done. Vignal.
And Kirker.
Vignal is a very Scottish pronunciation of that. What did you say?
Kirker.
Oh, good shout. Is that your era?
Yeah, my era, yep.
Salim Kirker.
Salim Kirker, yeah. Me midfielder.
Three to get very tough.
I was struggling.
Very, very tough.
Come on.
The reason I remember this guy is because he scored an absolute screamer at Fir Park. He also played for Fulham, Southampton. Played quite a lot for Southampton.
Southampton? And Dami? Is he one?
Nope.
Southampton? Mm-hmm. What position?
Yeah, midfielder as well.
Midfielder?
He was loan at Fulham, came to Rangers.
I'm struggling here.
Southampton. I might put you out your misery in a few of these. Fabrice Fernandes?
Never have got that. Never.
Trip to late
again, Mark. I think maybe one of these. I think this is your era. I think a big, was he a defender? Yeah, I think he probably was. I think this guy had a decent career actually. Did not play for Marseille, Monaco.
Yeah, what defender?
Rangers 2005 to 2007.
Sure, that is my era.
Who played?
Monaco defender would be
quickly Julian Rodriguez.
I've never got that either.
And the one you will never get, it's the sort of 2012 era of playing down the divisions, Sebastian Faure.
Never.
That's a hard teaser.
Tough, that is tough. Thanks to George and Hamilton. Whatever happens in Nice tonight, good, bad or indifferent, we'll look back on it tomorrow. We'll also be building up to the weekend's action as well. Make sure you join us then. Thank you for your company tonight, and we will speak to you at 6 o'clock tomorrow.